1 through 9. I told Mike 1 through 14, but it's not quite that long. Verses 1 through 9. And the judge we're looking at tonight is a woman. Her name is Deborah. And I probably can have lost track of the number of times that somebody has told me that since Deborah was a prophetess, it's okay for women to be pastors. No, the Bible says that the bishop must be the husband of one wife. And I know that some folks don't agree with that position, but they need to take that up with God. I do agree with God, amen? There's nothing wrong with women. If you think about the time when the Lord Jesus Christ was crucified, it was the women that were out front. They were the ones that were waiting by the tomb when everyone else had left. They were the ones that went in the morning on the first day to anoint the body. There's nothing wrong with women. Women can do great things for God. The word prophetess here simply means that she gave out the word of God. And so in a sense, our women today can not hold the official role of a prophet, but they can certainly share the word of God with folks. This woman's name is Deborah. Now, in verse 3, the Bible says, the children of Israel cried unto the Lord. And the reason they're doing this is the same old story once again. God delivered them, they became wicked, and now they're in captivity again. This time, it's a man whose name is Jabin. He is the king of Canaan. And you may know that Canaan is that name of that land that they have occupied. He reigned in Hazor. Now, Hazor is a site that's kind of special to me because I did have one opportunity in my life to visit Israel. And I actually was able to stand on the top of Hazor, the fortress Hazor, early in the morning, about 6 a.m. The sun had just come up, and we had jet lag, so we couldn't sleep. So we'd already been up for 2 hours. And so we walked up to the top of Hazor. We were staying in a kibbutz right across the street, right across the highway, I should say. And we walked up and looked at Hazor, and we looked all around. It's kind of a high spot, and you can see quite a long ways in most directions. And it's a place that Joshua had burned with fire and taken, but this man is reigning there because of Israel's wickedness. And he has a captain whose name is, or I should say general, so to speak, whose name is Sisera. Now, I don't know how good your geography of Israel is, but the Sea of Galilee is a good reference point. And if the Sea of Galilee was this pulpit right here, and so let's just make this north. Hazor is about where the piano is, maybe a little bit, maybe the piano bench. That's Hazor. It's about 20 or so, maybe 15 miles north of the Sea of Galilee, a little bit to the west. And then up there where the baptistry is, that's where the Israeli captain, his name is Barak. The Israeli general is up there where the baptistry is. And the reason he's up there is because the enemy, Sisera, is right over here, right about where the thermostat is. And I think basically what's happened is the captain, Barak, has said this: if the enemy's over there, I want to be over here. You kind of get a sense of this fellow's character by that, and also by what he says to Deborah later on. But when the people cried in verse 3, when they cried, the Lord answered, and what we're going to see tonight is the beginning of the story and who God was able to use. I'd like to be used by God. Amen? Wouldn't you like to be used by God? Say, what could God do with me? Oh, you might be surprised. God did some great things with some people that didn't seem to have a whole lot going for them. I'm thinking of the little maid that was able to tell a man how to be healed, Naaman, how to be healed of leprosy, or just all sorts of people that didn't have a lot going for them, but God did great things, because in our weakness, God's made strong. Let me ask you to stand for the reading of God's Word. I'm going to read verses 1 through 9 of Judges chapter 4, and we'll quickly look at who God can use. The Bible says in Judges chapter 4, beginning in verse 1, excuse me, the children of Israel again did evil in the sight of the Lord when Ahud was dead, and the Lord sold them into the hand of Jabin, king of Canaan, that reigned in Hazor, the captain of whose host was Sisera, which dwelt in Harosheth of the Gentiles. And the children of Israel cried unto the Lord, for he had 900 chariots of iron, and 20 years he mightily oppressed the children of Israel. And Deborah, a prophetess, the wife of Lapidoth, she judged Israel at that time. And she dwelt under the palm tree of Deborah between Ramah and Bethel in Mount Ephraim. And the children of Israel came up to her for judgment. And she sent and called Barak, the son of Abinoam, out of Kadesh Naphtali, and said unto him, Hath not the Lord God of Israel commanded, saying, Go and draw toward Mount Tabor, and take with thee 10,000 men of the children of Naphtali and of the children of Zebulun, and I will draw unto thee to the river Kishon Sisera, the captain of Jabin's army, with his chariots and his multitude, and I will deliver him into thine hand. And Barak said unto her, If thou wilt go with me, then I will go. But if thou wilt not go with me, then I will not go. And she said, I will surely go with thee. Notwithstanding the journey that thou takest shall not be for thine honor. For the Lord shall sell Sisera into the hand of a woman. And Deborah arose and went with Barak to Kadesh. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, thank you this morning or this evening for the encouragement it is to have a good group of your people to come out and pray. And Lord, I believe that one day in eternity we'll be able to look back at this night and see that this group of folks that came out believing that you answer prayer and that took time to pray, that we'll see eternal results, that we'll see things that were made different because we met here tonight and prayed. Thank you for each one that's here and for the prayers that have already been offered up. And Lord, I'd pray that it would be a common sentiment amongst each of us in this room that we would like to be used by you. And Lord, we know that you are able to use us, you're willing to use us, that it's not you that limits us, but it's our limitation that we need to deal with. And I just pray tonight that each one here would desire to be used and then would make themselves available. I pray for folks that aren't here tonight. Perhaps they would also understand the opportunity, the blessing, the tremendous privilege to be used by you to make a difference in this wicked world and particularly to make a difference in our community, to get the gospel out, to get the word of God out, to get the truth out, and to allow the power of the word of God opportunity to change lives. I pray you'd bless us tonight. And we just trust that your will would be done. Lord, without you, we can do nothing. We pray for your power upon this time now. We ask in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated. I don't want to spend any more time on the geography, but I would encourage you, if that kind of thing fascinates you, you might want to look at a map of what's happening in this story. And there's a lot of geography going on here. A lot of people in different places. And one of the things that I didn't tell you that I want to mention is that Deborah, who's way down south, she's at the back doors of the auditorium, so to speak, and she has called Barak to come down and meet with her, and he needs to go all the way back up to the baptistry and get his people. They are from two tribes. One of those tribes is right over here, and one of those tribes is right where he is, and he needs to bring them back down to this mountain, which is just above the river, so that God can deliver Sisera into his hand. It's quite an amount of effort, a journey, so to speak. And Deborah says, God commanded. Folks, listen. When God commands, we go. Amen. Do we? Amen? You know, the Lord says, go, we go. I hope we go. We ought to go. We can go. He'll go with us. He said, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. You have to decide to follow, and I do too. But in this case, the message is, get your army, come down to Mount Tabor, which is right up here, down here in the first couple of rows of seats, so to speak, and you get down there, and I'm going to bring the enemy to you, and you're going to defeat him. And folks, if it wasn't for God, we couldn't win a victory anyway, amen? Say, Pastor, we've got them outnumbered. I don't care. If you haven't got God on your side, you're in trouble. And if you've got God on your side, it doesn't matter what the numbers are, God can give you the victory. 900 chariots of iron, just for the record, Egypt had 600. This is not a small army. And if you think about the numbers here, that means 900 chariots against 10,000 men. I can just tell you, they're still in trouble. In other words, that's not good odds if you're going to fight a battle, especially an offensive one. But when the Lord says go, they go. And so Deborah, the prophetess, the judge, not the pastor, she's a prophetess and a judge, and she's being used by God. She tells Barak, she says, it's time to go. Barak says, well, I don't know if I want to do this or not. I'll tell you what, if you'll go with me, I'll go. I can look at that two ways. The optimistic way is he certainly wanted the representative of God on his side. That's a good thing. But the fact of the matter is, it wasn't her job to defeat them. He's the one that should have taken the army and defeated them. He's being kind of timid. He's being a little bit fearful, if you will. And so you just look at the two people there on the good side, Deborah and Barak, and against those two people that are the enemy, Jabin and Sisera. And you ask yourself, who's God going to use? And the answer is Deborah. What was different about her? I'll show you three things. It won't take long at all. And I think these, well, there's four, but I'll kind of squeeze two together. These are things that could help us. Okay, first of all, I want to make a difference. We mentioned this already. You do too. I had a thought, and I'm going to preach about this next week when I'm in Salt Lake City. If the Word of God doesn't make a difference in somebody's life, in somebody's situation, you're trying to witness to somebody and you tell them the Word of God and they say, I don't believe the Bible. I don't care what God said. I don't believe in creation. I don't believe that Christ died for my sins or whatever. Let me ask you a simple question. If the Word of God won't make any difference, do you think you and I can do anything else? What I'm trying to say is really an encouraging thing, and that is sometimes we think of ourselves as being responsible for making the difference. Folks, God's the one that's got to make the difference. Amen? God's the one that's got to make the difference. What do we really have? Ephesians 6, the armor, one offensive weapon in the armor. What is it? The sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. That's the only offensive weapon we've got. Now, I will grant you, don't get me wrong, if we go out and we show kindness and love and we take of our time and we go out and spend time with these bus children, we can make a difference in their life. But what I would really like to see is I want to see them get saved. Because if I'm just making them comfortable while they're on the way to hell, what have I really accomplished? What we really have is far better than donuts and cereal, although we are glad to have donuts and cereal and hot dogs and pizza and anything else we can use to get them come in, candy and popcorn and all the rest. And those are good things. But what we really have is the Word of God and the promise of eternal life. That's going to make a difference. And if those children receive the Lord Jesus Christ and His Spirit lives in them, then long after we've come and gone, they've still got God on their side, amen? And then He can do something with them. So this is not rocket science here. It's not too complicated, so I'm trying to say. The first thing that we have to have in order for God to be able to use us is we've got to give out the Word of God. Deborah was a prophetess, and all that means, if you see the word prophet, prophetess is just a feminine form of that. A prophet is someone that just tells what God said. It is called forth telling, which means we give forth what God told us. And sometimes it includes foretelling, which means telling the future. You know, I can tell in the future. Do you know that? I'm not kidding. You can too. I know, for example, that Jesus is coming back. I know, for example, where I'm going to spend eternity, and I'm not even there yet. Oh, and I know, for example, that you're going to be with me if you're saved, and there's going to be a day of judgment, and this world's going to be destroyed. There's lots of things in the future that we know because the Bible says so. So you, in a sense, in a strong sense, have that opportunity to give out the Word of God. Amen? And by the way, again, that's your sword. And if they won't listen to the Word of God, there's really nothing else that we can do. We can just keep on telling them, I guess. But until they listen to God, we're not going to make much of a difference. The first thing you got to be able to do if you're going to be used by God is give out His Word. And to give it out, you got to know it. And you got to know it well enough that you can use it and use it effectively and accurately. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Amen? We ought to know the Bible. If you've been coming to Sunday school, if you didn't know the book of Acts by now, you should know it a lot better with Brother Hickson teaching it. If you have been coming to church faithfully, on Sunday mornings we're going through Hebrews, on Sunday nights we're going through Exodus, on Wednesday nights we're going through Judges, we've been through all sorts of other books, and we endeavor to know the Word of God because that's our sword. The first thing that you're going to have to do if God can use you is know and give out the Word of God. And you can see her doing that in verse 6. She says, "Hath not the Lord God of Israel commanded?" She knows what God said, and she's going to repeat it. Let's give folks the Bible. Say, "Pastor, when I give them the Bible, they don't like what I say. Maybe I should just tell them something less offensive." Folks, again, if they won't hear the Bible, what else have you got? Amen? And by the way, I'm kind of proud of the Bible, aren't you? I really am. Second thing about her, she was somebody that would accept responsibility. Now, you can just imagine what it would have been like in these days, especially when Israel was being, I use the word, oppressed or in captivity by Jabin. Is she was the judge, and she was willing to say, "I'll do the job." This is not a popular topic, okay? Because people don't like to be told that they need to accept responsibility. But you know what? If we don't, who will? Amen? You know, for example, when I got married, and my wife and I got married, and we had children, I had to accept responsibility as a father. By the way, it's a privilege to be a father. Praise the Lord. Amen? And those of you that have children, you know what I'm talking about. It's a blessing to be a father. But it's a responsibility, isn't it? Now, there are people that say, "I don't want that responsibility." Folks, that's wicked. When God gives you that privilege and that opportunity, you should accept the responsibility. You got to provide for your family. You got to get them in church. You got a lot of things you got to do. You got to raise your children and educate them and meet their needs and buy them braces and I don't know, whatever else you got to do. But it's a privilege. And by the way, someone did that for us, didn't they? God gave us a father. And all I'm going with this is, when there's a responsibility to be accepted, accept it. Who else is going to get the gospel out in this area if we don't? You think God put us here for a reason? Oh, let's go a little deeper. Who else is going to do the job if you don't do it? There are people that you know that I don't know. We've got, I was looking at it today, we've got a stack. Linda probably knows the size better than I do. We got a stack, it's about yay high, and it's about 3 feet wide, and it's about 2 feet deep, and it is boxes and boxes of Gospel of John with a salvation tract and some other things in them. And I can stand in there and I can stand next to those boxes and I can pray for hours. They will not sprout legs and walk out that door and go to a house. You know? But one of us could pick one up and take one. This is not a numbers game so much, but we do have a large number of them. But the fact of the matter is, if we have compassion for the lost, somebody needs to hear the gospel and get saved. And God, if He will, would use some of those to do that. But we have to take the responsibility. You say, "I'm busy, Pastor." I know, we all are. But somebody has to take the responsibility. On Sunday morning, when that bus leaves here, somebody's got to drive that bus. Somebody's got to ride and take care of those children. Somebody's got to hop off that bus and knock on the doors. That's the only way. On Saturday morning at 10 o'clock, somebody's got to come out and go visit those children and say, "Hey, come to church tomorrow. We're going to have popsicles or whatever, and we're going to have Bible stories, and we're going to talk about Jesus and sing songs, and come out to church on Sunday." Somebody's got to do that. Now, this won't be a popular thought, but I'll go ahead and express it. How about you? How about you? Now, I understand sometimes we have physical limitations and we can't do certain things. I understand that. Sometimes we have other constraints. But if you can, you ought to. Amen? Amen? Amen. It's just, that's the way it is. And folks, if we will not accept responsibility, God won't be able to do as much with us. And he gave us the great commission, the great commandment, if you will, to take the gospel to the world. But we have to sacrifice in order to do that. And got to accept the responsibility. Deborah was a person willing to do that. Thirdly, it needs to be, before I just go back to the list again, number one, God uses people that are willing and able to declare his word. Number two, God can use someone that will accept responsibility. Number three, God will use someone who's not afraid. Two things you can see about her. She's not afraid to go. She does say, I will surely go in verse 9. And she understands that she's going into battle. Oh, by the way, 900 chariots of iron and a man who's been oppressing Israel. And if you look at these numbers, it's kind of interesting. This time it was 20 years before they cried out. The first time it was 8, the second time it was 18. They're getting a little bit colder every time. 20 years these people have been in control, and now it's time to go to battle. I was excited to hear that the brother's willing to stand up and preach in the streets. Anybody else ever done that here? Everybody done that? It's not easy. It's not popular. Especially when you're preaching against something that somebody else stands up for, which is wicked. And I want to tell you, not everybody here has done it, but a lot of us have gone door to door. It's not easy. It's not popular. It needs to be done. Not everybody here has, for example, worked in a ministry like a bus ministry or maybe a mission field or something. Anytime you go for the Lord, there is some exposure. Now, it could have been worse. You could have been in Daniel's day when they were going to throw you to the lions or throw you in the fiery furnace. Now, you could have been in some of these other days where the kings would just kill them if they didn't do what they were supposed to do. But a lot of the time, the danger that we face is more a danger of being offended or perhaps in some cases being attacked, but I doubt that. But folks, it doesn't matter what the danger is because God's bigger than danger. Amen? And I believe that. But you have to be willing to take the risk. What if somebody says something bad about me, Pastor? Well, that's a risk you're just going to have to take, isn't it? What if it costs me some time, costs me some money? What if I miss out on something that I wanted to do? That's just the risk you're going to have to take. Folks, if we're going to make a difference, if we're going to be used by God, then we've got to be willing to take some risks. And it's just kind of clear to me again, and I won't beat the horse to death, but poor old Barak, he's just not really excited about his job. He's the captain, and he's got his army way up there. And the enemy's down here. And folks, if you're going to get in the fight, you got to leave your place of comfort and come down here where the action is. Amen? That makes sense? It's just the fact of the matter. It may be risky. That's what's going to have to happen if God's going to use us. Now, I don't want to get anybody too riled up here. I just want to tell you the truth. Declare his word. Accept the responsibility. Don't be afraid. And then serve without conditions. And let's look at verses 8 and 9, and I'll be real quick and I'll be done. Barak said unto her, if thou wilt go with me, then I will go. That's a condition. And he is going to be involved in the victory, but who's going to get the credit? Deborah says, you're not going to get the credit. You're not going to get the honor. In verse 9, she says, the honor is going to go to somebody else because she says, I will go with thee. She says, notwithstanding, the journey that thou takest shall not be for thine honor. The Lord shall sell Sisera into the hand of a woman. And we'll look at the rest of the story in 2 weeks, and you'll see what happens if you don't remember. But God used a weak woman because she was willing to be used. And by the way, it was interesting how she did the job. And I won't spoil it. If you haven't heard the story, I'm sure you have. But it's interesting what God did. I'd like for God to use me. I think you hope God would use you. Amen? And in order for God to use us, we just got to make ourselves available. And the way to say it is this. You hear this all the time in the Bible. Here am I, send me. Abraham, where are you going? I don't know. God said go. He'll tell me when I get started. That's what God told him. You take off, and then when you head that way, I'll tell you where you're going. or Samuel or any of the others. They just said, here am I. We ought to go unconditionally. Amen? What could God do? Now think very seriously. I'm done. What could God do with you? How could God use you? You can't use the fact that you're a woman as an excuse, can you? Deborah was a woman. What could God do with you if you were willing to be used by Him? I think He could surprise us, amen? We live our lives. We go to work. We buy a house. Pay the bills. Grow old. We're not likely to die of hunger. We might die of an illness, but we've even got pretty good health care and good transportation and good housing and all the things that we need to survive and to be comfortable and to be well fed and all the rest. Don't you think there's more to life than that? Than just paying the bills? What about having a purpose in life? Is your purpose just to exist? You know what our purpose ought to be? To glorify the Lord. And you know how you glorify the Lord? When He uses a weak, limited, inadequate vessel like you and I to do something great. And then people say, you know, it had to be God, because they sure couldn't have done that. Amen? We go back to where we were on Sunday night. 10 times in the book of Exodus, God tells them, I'm going to do this so that they will know that I am the Lord. And He puts Israel up against the Red Sea in an impossible situation and then delivers them. He tells the disciples, give ye them to eat. 5,000 plus people, and they haven't got anything. 5 loaves, 2 fishes, or whatever. Who gets the glory? The Lord, amen? I'd like to be used by God. We need to be available. We need to give out God's word. We need to not be afraid and not set any conditions. Let's just come to the Lord and say, Lord, here am I. Send me. What could God do with you? Amen? Let's all stand and pray.